Christmas traditions on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. This year for our Christmas traditions, I'm so delighted to have with us a couple that really needs no introduction at ACBC. They serve us every single year at our conferences, speaking and teaching. They travel all around the world teaching biblical counseling, doing biblical counseling there in Charlotte at RTS. And I'm so grateful for Dr. Jim and Caroline Neuheiser, and really looking forward to our time together today as we think about Christmas traditions. And it is interesting, as I've done this over the years, to just hear how differently people within our faith tradition celebrate Christmas, celebrate this time of year. And guys, welcome to the podcast. I'm really looking forward to kind of getting some insight into you guys' lives, getting to know you a little bit better and thinking about this time of year of Christmas. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
One of my favorite questions to ask is just some of your favorite Christmas memories. I think that's a good place to start because it is this time of year when the weather, at least where I live now, it starts to get cooler. You start to see changing of leaves. You start to have certain memories from maybe childhood or different times in your life. Talk about what some of those memories are that come up in your mind as you think about Christmas.
One thing about us that may be unusual is we almost had no Christmas memories. When I was in college, I read a tract about how Christmas is like Saturnalia and the Roman pagan festivals. And so I made up my mind when I got married, we were not going to do Christmas. And Caroline loves Christmas. I can't believe she married me under those conditions. But in 1979, as we moved to the month of December, there were no trees, Santas, nothing in the house. And I remember I'm driving back from work. And Caroline was so sweet about it. I'm driving back from work. And in mid-December, I stop at a Christmas tree farm and buy the Christmas tree and bring it home, which was capitulating. And I wasn't sure whether I was compromising my principles or being a decent husband. At the time, I thought the former. Now I believe the latter. So that would be how Christmas was launched in our family. And then Caroline, you have maybe more.
Well, I grew up with my dad, especially making a big deal about bringing in a live tree, celebrating, putting it in a prominent place in the house. Everyone decorates together. So yeah, we had this experience. So definitely toned down. But after a year and a half of marriage, we moved to the Middle East, where you are not allowed to celebrate Christmas. There are no music. There's no music playing in the stores. There are no displays in the stores. There are no decorations to buy. No Christmas trees to buy, whether artificial or real. So that was a good experience because it made us focus on what is really the meaning of Christmas.
Right. When we were in Saudi Arabia, Christmas was a work day, that it was just one other day. We did smuggle in a tree. When we left the country, we were kicked out. It was a very valuable thing. We could have got a lot of money for it from Westerners who lacked such. We gave it to some favored person. But when we were in Saudi Arabia, we also, there was an opportunity for hospitality.
Yeah, so we were part of an underground church, which a couple of things happened because of that. One is we had many people there on single status with no family around. And again, it was a work day. So we ended up inviting people over, a big party for mostly men. And we were able to sit outside because it was warm. And we enjoyed being the mama and the papa for the group, the house that had Christmas for them.
We were the mama and the papa who in their early 20s.
But the other aspect is the British embassy would have their own Christmas service. So Jim was able to arrange for an Anglican,
evangelical
Anglican priest to come. And that was a special time to gather with a large group of people who wanted to celebrate Christmas together.
There were gatherings sometimes like on embassy grounds as well as in homes.
Man, that's very interesting because, I mean, in our world, when you're, you know, particularly in the West, you don't think about the limitations that are placed on holidays such as Christmas in different parts of the world. And Yeah, that's an interesting part of the story of God's providence in your life where, Jim, you're actually wearing a Grinch tie today. When I would never associate you with a Grinch, but here you were and like not wanting to celebrate Christmas. And then the Lord takes you to Saudi Arabia where you just have a different appreciation for the celebration of Christmas. That's such an interesting part of the story. I love it. And I don't picture you in my mind as some sort of Grinch. So you're living
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're living the opposite today, which is great.
Maybe others would think otherwise, but thank you.
Well, I love it. I want you to talk a little bit about, I'm sure those are, you know, special memories, being able to be hospitable in a different cultural context, but even raising that value of the idea of Christmas. Talk about some of the things now. I mean, you've been back in the States for several years. You served as a pastor, Jim, in Escondido for a long time. And talk about some of the ways that you guys maybe even prepare your own heart during this time of a year to think about Christmas and the first coming of Christ. What are some of the special things that you guys think about or do? It could be with your church family or even in your home.
We've tried to have devotions at dinner. We always were varying it, but it could be reading parts of that or of the Christmas story from Scripture, or reading, right now we're reading a book together with whoever's at our table by Johnny Gibson, the Christmas liturgy, and we're taking selections out of that from different famous people through history. Caroline is really into Advent calendars, which are not necessary. It's preparing her heart for an enthusiastic, exciting thing. They're not all Christ-centered, but that's a big ceremony every day to open the doors of multiple Advent calendars, purchased from other places in the world even.
Yeah. Yeah, so we also realize that pastors have pretty much a work day. Some of them have a Christmas Eve service, some even a Christmas morning service. If it falls on Sunday, that also impacts what's happening at home. But I try to make a big breakfast time and our son is here from Australia, and he remembers the breakfast casserole, which is just a breakfast casserole, but to him, in his mind, that is Christmas morning. My parents used to get sweet rolls from the Jewish baker who didn't care about working on Christmas morning, and that's what we did as a kid.
There's another tradition we have, which isn't all that spiritual, but we subscribe to the Hallmark Channel during the month of December, and she watches all the Hallmark Christmas movies. And I'm thankful on my laptop I can watch sports while she's watching the movie, and they're pretty easy to follow, but she really enjoys those. And it's nice to have a wife who loves romance, so I'm happy about that part.
Yeah, that's actually quite fun. I mean, living in Kansas City where Hallmark is headquartered, it is interesting to see those shows. They have a similar plot, almost everyone. So Jim, I'm sure you can watch a few plays of football and jump back in. And that's really cool, even to talk about how your son thinks about that particular meal as, you know, associated distinctly with Christmas. That's really cool stuff. Take us into Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. We've been working the last several years. We picked up Sinclair Ferguson's two volumes, reading Advent leading up, you know, into Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, celebrating. We typically will go to, you know, a church service on Christmas Eve night. Talk about Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. What does that look like? I mean, you guys have traveled different places. You have family located all around. How does that look like for you guys, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day?
In recent years, both of our mothers are widowed, and they're in Texas and we're in North Carolina. So we will always travel to be with them. And often on Christmas Eve, we might be with my mother and go to a Christmas Eve service and have Christmas morning with her. Then we're driving through Texas a couple hundred miles to go be with her mom before the day's over. Sometimes it's vice versa, and we go to a Christmas Eve with her mom. But at this stage of life, what actually happens on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day is, you know, whatever's most meaningful to our moms, which thankfully they both want to go to church. And then we have kids who also spread all over the place. And so we try to meet up with them.
So this year, I'm wearing my Santa hat and we're getting on a plane on Christmas Day, flying to San Diego to see grandkids.
So we're seeing moms and then late in the day flying to see some grandkids on the West Coast. And that's more challenging because our children are not, well, they're into Christmas for the secular reasons, but we're limited and it's a little sad to us. We can't be as explicitly God-honoring and God-focused in those situations, especially when we're in their homes and have to respect how they do things. we seek to make the best of it.
But I will say, our sons love Christmas music. So we used to go caroling when Jim was a pastor to the homes of people we knew were in at home that night, or old people, and surprise them at the door singing Christmas hymns. And we all like to sing.
Yeah, that would be one of our better family traditions, is we could all sing parts and we'd go around the neighborhood singing.
Or to church people.
Yeah, home. All over the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that. And Jim, Caroline, you guys, you know, you're speaking to a lot of people who their children are not believers and they have to think through that this time of year. I think you're giving them some good ideas on how do you still focus. It could be just through music or just through the ministry of you being there and just being an encouragement. And your children know that your focus this time of year is the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ and keeping focus upon that. So I think that's very helpful, honestly, in your willingness to go and be in their home and want to be with grandkids and so on during this time of year is really important. And I have to say, your adaptability in all of this from early days of marriage in 1979 to Saudi Arabia and now with widowed moms, your adjustment has been incredible. I think this could be an encouragement for a lot of people. I want to finish maybe just with either some books that have been encouraging to you or, you know, ways in which you maybe from a personal perspective or as a couple encourage each other to think about the incarnation this time of year. One of the things that my mind goes to consistently is just really thinking about the incarnation of Christ and the beauty of him coming, and that was a fulfillment of prophecy, that God let us in on that secret for many years before that happened. He's promised to come again to think about that second advent. So there have been certain books and volumes that have been very helpful to me, encouragements back and forth in our family to think about that. Talk about maybe some of the ways that it's very materialized and secularized in our world. How do we keep our heart really centered on the incarnation and what this season is really about?
I'm working through a book that a friend wrote. Her name is Anna Portillo. It's called The Carol of Comfort. It's a study of Zechariah's doubt and frustration. And she, I believe, has struggled with her own melancholy, especially at Christmas. There's a difficult time for women who are infertile. And now we're talking about a baby coming and celebration of babies in the manger and all. So her book has been helpful to me this year in particular.
We're going through this devotional, Johnny Gibson edited. It has a whole liturgy. I will confess we don't go through the whole thing, or it might take 45 minutes, but I'm selecting readings and parts of it each night. And I guess maybe like our traditions have varied, our devotions vary as well. There's not one thing we go back to every year other than the scriptures. We're looking for different things and thankful that the world stops, at least for a day, and is forced to consider.
The Western world.
Well, even in the Middle East, they knew what was going on.
They would give us half a day off.
Yeah, they would generously come around after lunch and say, you can go home now, it's Christmas. And they go, thank you.
That's great. But Caroline, you even mentioned, and I think this is so critical, my wife and I talk about this a lot, is when you hear the Christmas music and the rich theology that you hear in so many of the Christmas hymns that are sung, that secular artists are singing, and we're just like, man, we wish that they could grasp the beauty of the gospel. But it's a thing that you hear everywhere that you go, particularly in the West. And man, what a way for us to capitalize on it. And as we hear those songs and encourage others with the meaning that's behind those particular things. I can't get away, however, without asking maybe, you know, one of the more important questions, Jim, what are the critical things that make Christmas meals? What are some of those food items? I mean, you know, we've just come out of Thanksgiving with some distinct food items. What are some of the critical things, as your son said, that make Christmas, you know, breakfast or lunch or dinner or whatever? So what are some of those items in the Neuheiser home?
Lots of meat, no Brussels sprouts, and Caroline makes amazing pies. She's the pie master.
I love it. Well, we're going to have to take her up on that here pretty soon. I think that would be good. Get some taste testing of the pies.
One other thing that's occurred to me when Caroline talked about music is we always have gone to concerts that have Christmas music. But our first year in Saudi Arabia, when Caroline was pregnant with her first child, actually, there was a choral group that did the Messiah in Saudi Arabia in the American school. And we both sang in it. And that was a very happy memory. And it was kind of funny, like we could get by with that because it was choral music, even though we weren't allowed to meet formally for worship.
That is very cool. Well, this has been fun always as we get this time of year and we think about the birth of our Lord and what he came to do, to die, to save his people from their sins. So grateful for that and grateful to serve in the ministry alongside of you guys. So thankful for all the work that you do. Thanks for sharing a little bit about your ministry and your life, thinking about Christmas as well. So we love you guys. And I'm so grateful for people to hear a little bit about you and your story and how you celebrate this time of year.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you, Dale.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. You know, this has traditionally become one of my favorite podcasts of the year. I love going inside of some of our beloved members' homes as they talk about what they do traditionally for Christmas. But this time of year just reminds me of what a wonderful gift that God has given us in the Son. And I pray that during this time of year that you all are able to enjoy just the praise and worship of the Incarnation. That Christ, knowing our need and our despair, he steps into that world. And I pray that this brings about just great joy and great hope as you all celebrate the birth of our Lord. And so I pray that you all would have a Merry Christmas, and we look forward to welcoming you again in the new year. If for any resources that you need during this time of year, we pray that our website would be helpful to you, biblicalcounseling.com.